We understand that not everybody wakes up as early as Joe Thomas. The Snooze Alarm Survivor Podcast.
Knowing what that flag meant to those families when it was folded and given to them, no way I will ever dishonor that flag.
Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Joe Thomas in the morning. And remember, the country and the concept are not the government. The government is chosen by men to protect those rights. Those rights we are endowed by our creators with. And the more you ask a government to do for you, the more you are going to be A, disappointed, and B, marginalized. So we gather here again with the same question that dogs us so many times on this Tuesday morning. If compromise is so good, how come it has victims? I mean, the phrase victim of compromise is as old as the English language. So why does compromise have victims? Is it because we're expecting too much from society, from the system? I mean, 434-964-1075. Maybe we are self-victims. Maybe we're victims of compromise because we were expecting a deal to do something for us. And isn't that, honest to goodness, isn't that the problem we've had over the last, 60 years? Since the Great Society began? Since this Great Society of Lyndon Johnson has begun? Haven't we all been expecting something from someone else? Aren't we always the ones who are saying, well, if I could only catch a break? Well, who's throwing the break? If your job is to catch a break, well, then who's supposed to be throwing it? And I think that's the corruption in all of us. And you can't fix anyone else. You can only readjust yourself. And I think most of us, most of the people I know, get this on an essential level. I was talking to a dear friend over the weekend who, you know, we don't label ourselves, but I gather from context that she's grown up fairly left-leaning. But you know, when you break down issue by issue Socratically, she's like, well, I agree with you on that. I agree, because the answers to our problems, just like the answers to our questions, are usually found within, correct? Hasn't that been your experience? No, it's been mine. So, yes, we are talking in abstract about the debt ceiling deal. And yet here we are in our yellow shirt with the jagged black stripe across the bottom, girding our loins, ready to kick that football this time, because Lucy has promised us she is going to hold that football and she's going to let us kick it. And what has happened again? Here we are, staring at the clouds, flat on our back, like flounder in Animal House, when he was told by the leadership of his fraternity, you beeped up, you trusted us. And so instead of $1.5 trillion in extra debt ceiling room, the president gets $4 trillion. And he doesn't have to cut spending to do it. Maybe one side of the compromise has more victims than others. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. They're not allowed to, or purportedly not allowed to increase spending, but they can keep spending at the breakneck pace that they've been going. That cloud looks like an elephant. As I lay here on the grass wondering why I believed Lucy was going to let me kick the football this time.
Need to know what game is on tonight?
A shot, he scores!
Pitch, swing and a line drive, deep double.
Check out the full Seaville sports schedule online at WCHV.com.
You need emotional outlets.
I need emotional outlets. What kind of emotional outlets would you suggest?
This football is a perfect answer. There's no better emotional outlet than kicking a football. To sum it all up in one phrase, Charlie Brown, you could kick away your faults.
Boy, you must think I'm stupid. You just want to hold that football and have me come running up to kick at it so you can pull it away and see me fall flat on my back!
The cure is up to you, Charlie Brown. Do you want to kick the habit or don't you?
The habits. And there we go, running up to kick the football again. All the while saying Janet Yellen has plenty of money to pay the obligations of the government, even if we don't increase the debt ceiling. All the while pointing to out of control inflation, still spiraling, taking more and more of your money in a passive tax. More and more of your retirement funds shrinking little by little. All the while thinking, patting ourselves on the back, much as we were in October of 2022, saying the economy can't be good for these leftists. And we fall flat on our democracies. One of the more controversial things I'll say, and the keyboard warriors love to say, Joe Thomas doesn't like democracy. He's an insurrectionist. It's one of the many reasons you and I are insurrectionists, is because we have an intellectually honest conversation about democracy. Because we've demagogued democracy into this faux likeness of freedom. We equate democracy with freedom and liberty when nothing historically proven could be further from the truth. Democracy leads to mob rule. Democracy leads to the voices of the minorities being silenced. Democracy leads to, we must do something, and this is something, so we must do this. Democracy leads you to think that you can vote for your own personal benefits. Democracy is a crippling social disease that we convince ourselves is better than totalitarianism, but isn't. It's mob totalitarianism. And in our modern media world, you don't even need a majority anymore. No, you just need to appear to have the majority. It doesn't even have to be codified. There doesn't have to be a single accountant counting names or numbers. There doesn't have to be a single UNIVAC computer tabulating the census. No. We just need to appear on TV with a large enough crowd to fill the view screen, and people say, well, I mean, look at the crowd he's got. If this was the case in the 50s, Martin Luther King Jr. would have won the civil rights movement in a week. Because everywhere he went, he was filling the entire city streets for blocks and blocks and blocks with people. Dirty little secret about the demographics of those freedom marches. The majority of them were Caucasian. because they realized how wrong Jim Crow was, and then they were going, you know. But in this day and age where you just have to fill up a TV screen with enough people to look like you have a mob of people behind you, you win. You win because people say, no, I don't want to be unpopular. I don't want to be unpopular. It's why, in an abstract, though it sounds like just a massive ego stroke for a guy like me to say, we finished as first runner-up in the Daily Progress Reader's Choice Biggest Celebrities voting. It's not. It's to be an example to the fact that you and me are much more mainstream than the TV screens with crowds of people in it would lead you to believe. It's my only goal when we put ourselves into these things or find out later that we are in these things, because it needs to be a reminder to all of us. I think we all need to brace ourselves that we're dealing in the tyranny of the minority. Not ethnically. I'm talking about, 5% of the population getting a big enough crowd together to dominate the other 95 under the idea of not the face, not the face. Hit me anywhere, but not the face. That's what we do. And that's what Kevin McCarthy, this deal should be called the not the face. Lucy promises to hold the football this time. Debt ceiling deal. We give President Biden everything he wants, take away nothing he wants, and say, we compromise. So now the interesting thing is going to be, and we've reached out to Congressman Good. He had a couple of moments over the weekend, but right now they're in the process of going through this monstrosity. So hopefully in and around the Wednesday vote on this thing in the House, we will see if Kevin McCarthy, and remember, you know who one of the biggest fans of this deal is? Hakeem Jeffries. So, do we see this coalition of the damned, the House uber populists, vote in favor of this and leave the far left and the far right, the Chip Roys and the Bob Goods and the Ilhan Omars and AOCs floating in a life raft and pass it with all the, quote, middle? Or is that a false narrative? And if you've read your Federalist Papers, this was expected. These kind of behaviors in the House were expected. The passions of the House were supposed to be buttressed by the Senate, who was not concerned with popular opinion. Their position was to represent the state governments that created the federal government in the first place. So the Federalists, Madison and Hamilton, as they were writing the Federalist Papers, they expected this kind of populist behavior in the House, even back then. They said, but we have the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate isn't going to be tithed to popular opinion, so they'll be able to sit there and look at this and say, we really need to make a tougher choice, even though it may not be popular, and understand the chain of events that lead us to where spending more money that we don't have is popular. Because all that money we don't have that we're spending is in many ways coming to each and every one of us. So we're voting for our own self-interest. This is exactly, talk to any historian, exactly what happened to Rome. Why, even to the point where the Roman Senate was merely just a show pony that wasn't there to do the role it was originally constructed for. It was merely there to allow the citizens to think it was a different body or somehow going to make sure the emperor behaved constitutionally. the similarities become almost too much for a Tuesday morning, don't they? Anyway, but we'll dive into that further. Plenty of other stuff to do this Tuesday morning on Joe Thomas in the Morning.
High Fidelity hosts.
Right at the entrance to Central Park.
High Fidelity Radio.
Where the last of the
Sebring 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, thank you for letting us be of service to you, because it's really, at some point, it's going to just be you and me, isn't it? I mean, unless the, you know, if Kim Jong-un drops the EMP on us and the grid goes down, and we'll find some way. I'll co-opt a union of squirrels, and we'll generate some electricity and get the transmitters going, but you're going to need something to receive it. There, or we'll just run around yelling from every corner as we go into the morning like we used to have to. But at some point, it's just going to be you and me. And that's the way it's supposed to be. See, you know, we've become gaslit into thinking the interwovenness is appropriate. The "you didn't build that" has metastasized into quite a tumor. And that's why the debt deal is so important, as I sit here, because too many of us are counting on federally given monies. Too many of us are counting on grant money. For example, COVID-19. I know you're sitting looking at the radio saying, all right, now how are you bringing COVID-19 into this? Do you remember when one of the major employers in the Charlottesville metropolitan area, a hospital that shall remain nameless, UVA, started telling its employees that they were supposed to have untested medical treatments, or they were going to be furloughed. I have the emails. They were going to be furloughed not because the science was settled, not because they were safe and effective, not even because the Wu flu was a scary virus, but because the hospital system that shall be remain nameless, man, allergies are really, told their employees in a moment of hubris-driven clarity, I'm sure, and if they had that moment to go back to, they'd press the Omega 13 and go back those 12 seconds. They told their employees that if they didn't take this experimental shot, they would be furloughed lest this hospital system lose, quote, millions of dollars in federal grant funding. So why is this debt deal so important to so many people? Because whether it's right or wrong, whether the value of our dollar continues, the continuing flow of someone else's dollars does. Everyone's police department and school division has a bag of federal money that might have been in peril. And even so, you've got people saying, oh my God, we're not going to get an increase next year. What are we going to do? And they continue to print it. I mean, there is one upside. They do claw back a lot of the COVID-19 money that's remained unspent. I hope that includes getting the million or so dollars back from Charlottesville that they haven't spent yet. And I believe there's somewhere in the area of a million change, maybe closer to two, in Albemarle County's coffers. And counties across the Commonwealth have unspent COVID-19 monies. Charlottesville just had the intestinal fortitude to sit out there and say, what if we reassign it to our capital budget, Phil? Huh? What do you think of that? So clawing back that is a reasonable thing. They should have done that without a debt ceiling crisis looming. I hate using even the phrase because it wasn't a crisis. But at some point, the U.S. dollar is going to, and remember, gosh, so long ago, 18, 19 months ago, we were told how heretically conspiratorial it was to discuss the idea that the U.S. dollar might not be the reserve currency of the world someday. How many countries are now buying and selling oil or other things for rubles and yuan and Bitcoin and you name it. And when our reserve currency status goes away and nobody's buying our debt anymore, guess what happens then? The Weimar Republic.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
What do you make out of this?
Really?
What a bro.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Thomas in the morning, 434-964-1075 is the phone number. Emails come in to joe@wchv.com, and this one on the debt ceiling. Joe, at some point, we just have to admit it's broken beyond repair, don't you think? Well, that's why I brought up the last segment. You can title it, Why? Weimar. That's Vi. Because you break it, you buy it, as a retail paradigm is all well and good. But totalitarians first need the willing complicity of the people that they're going to dictate to. And in some cases, it's, you know, arm around the shoulder and paternally say, you are my number one guy. And you convince enough people that they're going to be in with Flynn that they go along with totalitarianism because, well, they think they've got the game rigged. And sure, it's going to suck for a lot of people, but not me. And self-interest is survival, right? Happened an awful lot around Moscow 100 so years ago. Or, as the collapsing economy of Germany taught us, at some point somebody will come in and say, I can bring normalcy back. I can restore peace. You're not going to have any freedom, but you're also not going to be worried about, is there food in the grocery store? Or do I have enough money this hour? I mean, people were cashing their paychecks so that the bank wouldn't be without money. It was so bad. And they were buying food before the price went up in the afternoon. And so broken beyond repair, I don't buy. Because for all of the bluster of the Obama administration and the Biden administration, Valerie Jarrett, proprietor in both cases, so all of the bluster that comes out of the three terms of the Valerie Jarrett presidency, they still haven't had the intestinal fortitude to tear up the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights. President Biden, perhaps, as the avatar, as the hand puppet of the month for Valerie Jarrett, has teetered closest to it in his re-election announcement, where he says, you want more rights, you want less rights, you know, from the thing. And so he actually had the addledness to say it out loud, that they were going to develop new rights for you. And every time another one of the patients' bills of rights, the air travelers' Bill of Rights. I'm like, no, it's the simple U.S. Bill of Rights should be sufficient for all of those subgroups. But no, we all want to be special. We all want to have our special tag. So in this debt deal, President Biden continues the authoritarian government, the hand in glove, the you chose this, totalitarianism of, you know, the government monitoring, the government looking into your bank account, who's in your wallet. Remember last week, who's in your wallet? Discovered that the Department of Homeland Security was just checking on people's credit card transactions without a warrant. I mean, they didn't even bother going to the FISA judge this time, even though the FISA judges have like a 93% approval rating, not in polls, but they approve your warrants like 93% of the time. Meanwhile, teenagers die of fentanyl poisoning and soldiers take their own lives after coming home from our theater. Sure, does it look broken? Yeah, but a lot of it is because we turned to our longing eyes to the government to create a great society for us. And I know it sounds like I'm picking on Lyndon Johnson. I'll pick on Andrew Johnson, too. Dude, if you're in the black community and somebody named Johnson runs for president, don't vote for them. Every time in American history a president has been named Johnson, they screw the black community. They break up your families. They leave you destitute with nothing, with not even one nickel to try to rub against anything else. They look the other way when the knights in white satin come riding in with their actual torches, not tiki torches. Although Citronella Nacht was a convenient reminder of what had been demagogued into convincing us to create this centralized state of an American government. Because it's the same boogeyman it was 100 years ago. And as the 16th Amendment started doing, it's a passive under the perfectly legitimate premises of, well, we need to do the things the government needs to do, taxation, that 16th Amendment began redistributing wealth almost immediately. And you say, well, but Joe, aren't there poor people? Yeah. And how many more poor people are there now than at the moment Lyndon Johnson started his war on poverty? And Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden are just the latest major generals in that war that's going to make more and more of us poor so that we can be the enemies of the state.